Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save big money at
Menards. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Vikings, come out and play.
Cousins throws. Pass it.
Now listen to the Believe in Vikings podcast with B-Mac and Baker.
Welcome to Believe in Vikings. I'm your host, Dustin Baker. I'm here with Brian McKinney, who won a Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens, played for the Vikings for a decade, and finished off with the Dolphins. Ron from Eden Prairie joins us. So does Sally from Minneapolis. And then we have Mike Santanga from representing the Cincinnati Bengals. He writes about the Bengals for allbengals.com, and he does the Locked On Bengals podcast. He's going to join us shortly to discuss some of the depth chart stuff from the Bengals and some predictions and all that fun jazz, strictly geared at week one because your Vikings are headed to Cincinnati. But first, we're going to talk about Balance 7. So I don't know if you heard about former NBA player Lamar Odom. He might be returning professional basketball in Spain soon. Apparently, he's going to try out for Paul Gasol's team. He's been trying a new product that he owes credit to, Balance 7. Balance 7 is a pH-balancing alkaline supplemental drink. It's like vitamins or supplements in liquid form. Just 1 ounce a day, three times a day, and in a week, you'll see the effects. You can see how Balance 7 has helped. And right now, you have to go to balance7.com and use the promo code BLEAV, believe. You get $10 off your 32-ounce bottle. That bottle lasts 11 days, which is a perfect amount of time to feel the pH balancing work. Again, that's balance7.com, and use the code BLEAV at checkout. It worked for Lamar Odom, and it can work for you as well. And also betonline.ag, Old Faithful. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron field to start the football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all of the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest. So you better check that out. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 100% welcome bonus. Take advantage of the opening day super promo. Make a bet on Thursday, September 9th on the season opener between Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and Dallas Cowboys. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded. Up to $25 for new customers only when signing up, and use the NFL code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. So go to betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. We are joined by Mike, who writes for allbengals.com and is on the Locked On Bengals podcast. He is our enemy this week, so to speak. Not really. He just writes for the temporary enemy. So, sir, Vikings fans probably don't know a whole lot about you, but change that for us. Tell us about yourself.
Yeah. I basically started this Twitter account about a year ago, and just like knowledge of, I played just in high school. So a lot of people played in high school, but then I watch a lot of coaching clinics of NFL guys, college guys, just talking about their technique and scheme of their people, and just did that for years. And I finally started just posting clips, my thoughts on everything, what it looked like to me, things like that. People, it started to catch on, and then ended up getting a writing gig with, yeah, since All Bengals, which is through Sports Illustrated. Okay. And then Locked On Bengals, which is great podcast. And Vikings, you know, I did a preview, so it seems like Vikings people kind of like it. There's some Vikings retweets from like Vikings Daily or something. I don't know. People, nobody's saying I was wrong about anything so far. So
no, you seem like a decent dude. So as long as you, you know, you come at us nice, then we'll play nice. Are you from Cincinnati?
So I'm actually from more Northeast Ohio, but yeah. Story is basically my dad was a Browns fan. I born in 96, so conscious around 2000, right when the Browns came back. They were terrible. And my mom was a Bengals fan, so it was kind of an easy choice where yeah. It was like Chad Johnson or whatever Cleveland's doing. So and then I just stuck with it.
Okay. So, and now you live about how far from Cincinnati?
I actually live knee deep in enemy territory right now. I'm about an hour outside of Pittsburgh.
Ooh,
okay. Oh, no.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. No. Wasn't, I got a girlfriend who she's from Western PA. I'm from, obviously, I said Northeast Ohio area. And she got a job first. So I had to move So out of college. So now I'm out here with a Bengals bumper sticker. Making everybody upset.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Tell me about your perception of the strengths and weaknesses of the Bengals. We want to know.
Okay. So, I mean, kind of obvious on offense, I feel. The strengths are the weapons, whether you want to call that T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Jamar Chase, or Joe Mixon. I think all of them are talented if Chase can stop dropping the ball. And the weaknesses on offense is it's the offensive line, and specifically it's the interior of the offensive line. Most Vikings people I've talked to, they think Riley Reiff was at least fine, and that's an upgrade over what we had at right tackle. And then Jonah Williams, I think Jonah Williams could be good this year. He's put on a little bit of weight, which will help him. I mean, I'm sure B-Mac can speak to this more, but he was playing at about like 298, 300. And it's tough to move a guy solo by yourself. I mean, I was a left guard at 180, so I feel this too. it's tough to move a guy when you weigh like 30, 40 pounds less than them. Just like
absolutely.
Yeah. You can have all the technique, but it's just, man, that guy's got some mass.
Right.
So I think he could be good. He's really solid technically. For the center position, I think Trey Hopkins is fairly solid, but he had a torn ACL week 17. He slated to start, but that's a concern. He was 7 months removed from a torn ACL. And then the guard spots are two basically journeyman type guys that should be fine, but not a strength of the team. I don't know. They weren't good last year as an offensive line, and we have a new offensive line coach, which helps a lot if he's better, and he should be. But yeah, I don't know. Until I see it, I kind of have very cautious about the offensive line. So that's on offense. Defense, it's linebackers are young and raw. They're growing, and the safety duo is good. Jesse Bates probably should have been a first team All-Pro last year, but was a second team. Who cares? And then Von Bell, he just makes stuff happen. He lays some big hits. He can do some. It's like magic. Actually, I think it was against the Vikings where he recovered a fumble that I think Janoris Jenkins forced, just recovered it right off the sideline, started running it back for like 40 yards. He just does things like that where he just knocks the ball out or he's right at the ball to pick it up. I don't know. He can be a little bit of liability in coverage, but overall, I think he's a plus player.
Okay. Sally, do you want to talk about what your strengths and weaknesses of the Vikings for us?
Okay. Well, you probably shouldn't have went to me first, because I'm trying to think of something strength to start with, and I'm it's escaping me. Weaknesses, vaccination status, offensive line, special teams, kicking. Positive.
You can tell, Mike, you can tell we're snake bitten by everything that's happened in the past with us. So,
I'm talking about current day.
I know, but recent history into present, you know, special teams is always going to be one that, you know, we could have Justin Tucker back there, and I'm sure we'll be all a little nervous that something bad's going to happen.
Preseason kicks. They missed preseason kicks.
I'm not saying I'm confident in it at all, but, you know, like I'm agreeing with you. It's just more so we could, it's going to take multiple years of stability before I'm ever comfortable with that spot. So,
all right. I wasn't expecting to be on the spot. Let me drink some Kool-Aid real quick. Positives, obviously the wide receivers, the two, I think, you know, we know Irv was kind of slotted to play that wide receiver three spot for at least a while. That's unfortunate. The defense obviously is a huge strength, hopefully. And I'm going to stop talking now.
Did you forget anything, Ron?
Well, Dalvin, obviously. So you just say skill position players. I mean, like the Bengals, they have a good skill position group. I think the Vikings are, you know, again, it's very comparable, maybe because of the depth of that third wide receiver in Cincinnati versus, you know, just, you know, our inexperience at tight end now and wide receiver three. So that's very comparable. But I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's hard to be like, all right, I'm confident at these strengths because, yeah, outside of the skill position and then the improved D, I think that's the biggest thing. But that's still a big question mark because, you know, we don't know how these guys are going to gel together, like the whether a lack of cohesion, I guess. But I mean, we got playmakers on D and we'll see what happens. So a big strength is not having Dakota Dozier start at right guard. I mean, that's a big one. So it sounds like, Mike, you're dealing with interior offensive line play. We're very familiar to the struggles that could lead to. I mean, yeah, it sounds like the weaknesses of the Bengals are very similar to, you know, what Vikings fans are looking for. So, I mean, I'm hoping for big things out of your rookie kicker because I got him in my dynasty league as well as another league. Dustin, I think I got him in your, if there's kickers in that league, I think that's where I took him. But, so yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be a interesting week one matchup.
Hey, Mike. I was just going to say, I'm sure you saw this, but you did see he hit a 57 yarder in the preseason, right?
I know he's got a booming leg and he's been accurate. So my question more so is, can the Bengals consistently move the ball and get in position? And then the conditions in Cincy when the weather starts to turn. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, so far, I mean, the dude looks legit. So I know it sounds like the Vikings wanted him, but they got sniped. So of course.
Mike, did you at all lament the pool, the pick of Chase over Penei Sewell, or is it too early to tell for that?
I was a Sewell guy.
Yeah, me too.
Just because I was get the best five offensive linemen, and it's really tough. And I think you're seeing that in Detroit right now to move guys from left to right. And he probably would have had to do that here too with Jonah Williams at left tackle. Although with Jonah Williams' health, eventually he might have been left tackle. Yeah, I would have gone Sewell just to get the best five out there or trade down and get some guys there. But I don't know. You know, I didn't hate the pick. I understood it. They thought Chase could be like, and still think, I assume, could be like a game-changing wide receiver. And they value that more than offensive line. And I don't really know if I agree, but that's the thought process. And I think it's fine. It's not like, they took a guy that I thought wasn't worth a first round pick or anything.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Raiders.
Right.
Hey, B-Mac, in case I forget, do you have a favorite Cincinnati memory or Bengals memory?
Only time I've been in Cincinnati to play. So I would say, I don't know. I don't really have a big memory, especially when I'm with the Vikings. Yeah. I played more with the Ravens.
Sure.
But No, they weren't. It was nothing big. I don't really have nothing.
Okay. Well, no, that's fair. I wanted to ask you too, Mike. Mike Zimmer spent 7 years of his career in Cincinnati, presumably when you were a fan, as a defensive coordinator. And then we snagged him and gave him his audition as a head coach, and voila, he's been with the Vikings for 7 years. Actually, I think Zimmer was there for 6 years with Cincinnati. What was the temperature on him while he was there? Was he appreciated? Was it sad to see him go? Was he just kind of average? How did the body politic feel about Zimmer?
Oh, my God. Everybody loved him.
Oh, yeah?
So much, yeah. No, we were making the playoffs, and most of the fan base, I still think, was like, yeah, tell Marvin to move on. Let's promote Zimmer. He's going to get a head coaching job somewhere. But obviously we didn't do that yet. I mean, we loved him. He had, I think, 4 out of his 6 years here, he was a top 10 defense by points per game, including a few top 5 finishes. And, I mean, it's also just fun to watch the Vikings and, well, the Zimmer defense with all the movement that happens, especially on third down. Everything's so confusing and disguised, and then there's just some fun pressure that always gets to the quarterback. I don't know. I really liked him. I feel like – I'm not sure how Vikings fans feel, but if he went to an AFC championship game here in Cincinnati, I mean, he'd probably have a statue.
Yeah, it's, I would say, and I don't have any scientific numbers for that, I'd say that most of the fans appreciate his body of work, but there is a sentiment that it's sort of stale because our ceiling has been an NFC championship that was highly disappointing. So now in year 8, because he alternates good years with bad ones, like you can set a clock to it, year 8 is supposed to be one of the good ones. And if it's not, it's probably time to change. And I think, I don't foresee them having an upside down year or even a 500-ish one. But if they do, I truly think that he'll head to the Dallas Cowboys and be the coach there if he doesn't cut it here in Minnesota this year.
Now, if that happens, I'm sure our fans will be lining the streets to bring him back.
Yeah.
Well, he's still got the ranch.
Yeah, that's another good point.
What's the pulse on Zach Taylor there? As the young coach, is he liked, or I guess I don't follow Bengals football closely enough to know what the fans think about it.
I think when he was first brought in, there's excitement because this is the young hot guy to choose from. And honestly, I wanted Eric Bieniemy back then, and it's weird that still he's a candidate. Like usually that yeah. is gone. But yeah, it's very, I would say leans more cold. It leans more like he's on the hot seat for most people. I think if he wins less than, I don't know, 7 games, he might be out of here.
Isn't his record like 6-25? Yeah. I mean,
yes,
how does he still have a job?
Because I think his players seem to like him. They are very positive about him, not just like normal players like, yeah, I like my coach, but like if players actually going out on a limb to vouch for him. I think Joe Burrow has said like he wants Zach Taylor to stay here. I mean, this could all just be player speak, but guys play hard. The Bengals beat the Steelers last year when they were like 13-1 in a meaningless
Monday night. Yeah.
They tried to gimmick it to Muppet Night football because they thought we were going to get killed. Yeah, I don't know. The guys play hard for him, but at some point you have to see better results than 4 wins in a top 5 draft pick.
Now, kind of, Brian, from your perspective as a head coach, obviously, like, players are involved and they can hear what's going on, like, when their own team is kind of being judged. But do they have their finger on that, like, as far as the consensus of a coach? Or, like, I know we've talked about Childress a lot on this show and are despised for him. But, say, other coaches that you've had as well where they may be on the hot seat, like Leslie Frazier is a perfect example where when he was in, I don't know if you were here long enough into his tenure, where it got stale with him. But have you ever been in a spot where the public perception of the coach doesn't necessarily mirror what the players on the field are experiencing, or is it pretty similar?
It's pretty similar. Like, you're aware of when the coach is on the hot seat. So, and if you like the coach, you're definitely going to try to step your game up and have, you know, some good results out there. So you definitely hear things and you're aware of, like, this has to be a winnable game and things like that.
Mike, I tweeted about a month ago that, you know, from the Vikings brain of me, that we really won't know. So we've spent considerable draft capital trying to get a better offensive line. We've refused to sign free agents. We've done it all organically through the draft. And this should be, in theory, a year where it starts to get better. And I tweeted that because of how poor the Bengals defensive line last year was, that if the Vikings can prevent them from running wild in the pocket on Kirk Cousins in week one, we really won't know for sure if the offensive line, the Vikings, is improved or the Bengals still suck. And I got three immediately by three Bengals fans saying this defensive line doesn't suck anymore. And they rattled off names. And I was like, I know who those people are, but the rest of the world doesn't. So I wanted to know, has it vastly improved the defensive line, or does it truly wait and see?
There's definitely some wait and see. There was a lot of health concerns though with the defensive line last year. DJ Reader missed 10 plus games. I think Sam Hubbard missed like 9 games, and then Carl Lawson somehow was healthy all 16, which first time since I think
now he's not. Yeah.
I know. I'm so. At least he got money before he got injured. Yeah. He's such a good dude. Yeah, I would say it's improved, but that's mostly because we're not picking up Margus Hunt off of the street, having him start. We were down depth to that point where you could find a guy on the street and he's playing 30 downs for us in a game. I don't know how improved. I think against the run, they'll be solid because, I mean, DJ Reader, he can two gap, nose tackle, does it very well. And Sam Hubbard's a great run stopper. Ogunjobi, very inconsistent. I don't know. So if he comes out and he's great, then he's great. Sometimes he comes out and it's just not there. And then I don't really know much about BJ Hill, but the Bengals just traded for him, and I guess he's going to start too. Trey Hendrickson, not a great run stopper from what I've seen, but you pay him $15 million to get 13 sacks like he did before. We'll see if that happens, but I don't know. It's improved from what it was last year, like just looking at a stat or something. But if you're looking at the fully healthy team last year versus this year, I think like it's probably pretty similar.
Okay. Yeah. I think I said this to some effect to one of those dudes on there that I don't think that, you know, the names that I see on the Bengals are awful or they're, you know, poverty, but compared to the rest of the ferocious defensive lines around the league, I don't think that the Bengals would be in the top 10. And I think there's a lot of prove it if you're going to bring in new dudes, just like the Vikings are doing on their offensive line and to an extent on their defense. So that's where I was going with that. BMAC, we had news today in Vikings world that Brian O'Neill was extended 5 years, 92.5 million. and he's a right
for
tackle.
Right tackle, yeah. BMAC.
So BMAC, it's slowly right tackles are catching up to left tackles in terms of how much they're getting paid. Does that surprise you at all? Bryant McKinney, are you on with us?
He took it off mute.
Well, we will circle back to that question. I'll try not to forget it.
He's probably picking his job off the floor for the $92.5 million.
Yeah, that's probably it.
So, Sally, you are still going to Cincinnati this weekend, correct?
I am. I'll be there Saturday morning.
And you've never been?
I haven't. I didn't realize what a hot spot it was until like a couple weeks ago. Can't wait to be there.
Okay. So now, Mike, this might
that
be
sounded sarcastic. It's not. It's not.
Mike, this might put you on the hot seat, but perhaps you don't know, and you can just say so. Do you know anything about Cincinnati as to direct Sally into stops that she must see or places she must eat?
Okay. So how do you feel about chili on spaghetti?
Yeah. It seems like every restaurant features that and also hot dogs. Not my two favorite foods, but I did find a restaurant called, what is it? Turf Club, where they have filet mignon chili. So I might dabble in that.
I haven't seen that, but I mean, if you're looking for like a fancy place, the Players, where Joe Burrow went to wine and dine Riley Reiff to get him to play, was Jeff Ruby's Steakhouse. So
that really happened. Burrow was the one who.
Yeah. I think it was him. There's a picture of him and Riley Reiff at the steakhouse together.
Had to fend off all those other suitors for him. I take it. So.
Hey, he's a starting caliber offensive lineman. There are people out there. Wow.
for that. Yeah.
I didn't know Burrow was a salesman.
Yeah. Yeah.
They went to the steakhouse together.
I don't need all that.
I've been to a few places. I don't live there, but do you like amusement parks? Because Kings Island's awesome.
I love amusement parks. I'm not going to have time for all of that. I'll be there Saturday and then Sunday, that consumes my day from 7 a.m. until, 7 p.m. and then I'm leaving Monday. So I really just need help with the tailgating situation.
There's
100 lots, but
find Bengals gym, and I'm sure he'll be welcoming the Vikings fans. He's like grandpa of the Bengals fan base. Super okay. Nice dude. He's invited me whenever I come out to join his tailgate. I guess it's huge.
Well, so, okay, yeah. I'll keep him Bengals in mind,
and then just be like, yo, I want a tailgate. You seem to have the best spot, because that's what I hear. I haven't gone, but I'm going there for the great Thursday night football game nobody's going to watch between the Bengals and Jaguars.
Oh, gosh.
It must be weird for Ron to hear this with this hospitality you're talking about.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because Ron went to the NFC Championship when the Vikings lost the Eagles, and it was like the purge in terms of the hostility that he experienced. So for you to have Grandpa Jim or whatever his name is telling that's awesome. Hey, B-Mac, did you hear my question?
Yeah, I heard about the right tackles catching up to the left tackles and pay. I am a little surprised. It's because majority of the quarterbacks are right-handed, so the left tackle is still the blind side, where the hits can be more devastating because they can't see them, or you can't brace yourself a lot of times come from the blind side. But things have changed. I told you, a lot of things have changed in the NFL lately.
Is it more difficult to play left tackle than right tackle?
Well, normally your more athletic defensive end is going to be over there, and that's for the purpose to be able to attack the quarterback from the blind side. So you're normally going against week in and week out the better player.
Yeah, touche.
And do you think, one thing I've always wondered, because a lot of quarterbacks are right-handed, obviously, but there's a extra added added awareness on quarterbacks being able to move and get out of the pocket. Is there a premium being on that right tackle to be able to hold that edge to give the quarterback time? So to kind of forget about the blind side a little bit, but more so worry about what they're looking at and give them that room in front. Do you think that might have something to play with those guys being valued higher?
That could be it too, because a lot of these young quarterbacks are a lot more mobile than the quarterbacks of the past. However, how long are they going to stay that mobile?
Going to interrupt for just a second to talk about one more of our sponsors, which is playactionpools.com. It's exciting news. Our podcast is partnering up with playactionpools.com this season to bring some interactive fun to the sport that we love most. You'll be able to get on all the action at playactionpools.com in a football pick'em challenge, which is open to everybody. Here's how it works. You sign up for the contest Believe Football Pick'em at playactionpools.com and then get your picks in each week. They're going to select 10 of the highest profile games per week for you to make your picks. Whoever gets the most picks correct each week will win a pair of electric sunglasses and a pair of DC shoes. Again, go to playactionpools.com and sign up for the contest BLEAV Football Pick'em, Believe Football Pick'em. And if you plan on hosting your own football contest, go to playactionpools.com today. They've got Survivors, Pick'ems, and all kinds of sportsbook style concepts so you can build your own bankroll. PlayActionPools.com, your new home for all of your office sports pools.
And because even I remember, even like I go back to with you and Loadholt, for example, not saying Loadholt wasn't athletic at all, because obviously at that level you are, but you were the more athletic one and he was kind of that just road grader. But now it seems like a lot of the premier right tackles, whether it's Lane Johnson or Mitchell Schwartz or Mike McGlinchey, they're guys who can get out and move in space. And it kind of seems like they're trying to get that mirror of what a left tackle can do to put them on the other side. I guess, what are your thoughts on that, having played the left tackle spot?
If that's what they're doing, then I think that probably is good, because it kind of balances out both sides. But then I feel like they do deserve it, though. But I just feel like the left tackle is a little – they're going against somebody week in and week out a little tougher.
I wanted to talk about some of the fears that we might have of the Bengals, or fears you might have of the Vikings, so we can get a full plate of discussion out there. And I'm going to start with the Bengals. So I think I implied that based on the roster, I think that if the roster as it was coached to a premium by Taylor and, seemingly a make or break year for him, that their ceiling in its utopian form is probably 11-6 or 10-7 if they did everything right. So that ties into my fear. Now, I do think the Vikings will win this game, and we'll get to predictions in about 15 minutes, but there is a fear, and Sally for sure will be able to test this, and Ron probably, that if all of a sudden this was the game that we're like, holy shit, the Bengals are good, who'd have thunk it? Like, and it clicked right away, and the Vikings were sloppy, or the preseason just carried over. There is a universe where I'm sitting there at about 12:30 Central time on Sunday thinking, God, this team is all of a sudden young and upstart and good, and these Vikings are still trying to run the ball, and they're down 14-0. That would be the fear that, I mean, I've been watching this team since 1996, and I've seen that happen, that I can experience. So from a depth chart perspective, yeah, Burrow is impressive. He's going to be in the league for 12, 15 years, and he's going to beat a lot of people. But I do think that the fear that I have is more whataboutism or the fear of the unknown, that, God, what if they just grew up overnight and this was the year that Taylor is going to take them to a wild card game? Ron, what's your biggest fear about the Bengals?
So, okay, so first of all, I think I'll get a lot of Bengals fans that will get mad at me, but hopefully not at the, like, how Chargers fans, how sensitive they are. But, okay, Joe Burrow, he definitely has, I think he has the ability. I don't think he's there yet. Even last year, I know he threw for a lot of yards, but he didn't throw touchdowns, and he still had weapons with Higgins and with Boyd outside. Now, I know Higgins kind of missed some time. So, again, he passes the eye test, but he's still a second-year player coming off of an injury that obviously was devastating. So I'm going to pump the brakes on Joe Burrow and being scared of him, at least for this week.
But do you attribute that to him and his abilities or the offensive line issues?
I mean, I think it can be a little bit of both. I think obviously the injury was primarily because the offensive line, and I think that will be a big part of it. But I just think that from what he did at LSU to what he did, you know, coming into the pros, like, clearly he has all the tools, but I think he just needs a little bit more time from at least what I saw. I didn't see him as, he's not a Trevor Lawrence, like NFL ready, you know, having that moxie to go along with the talent. So again, like, not trying to anger an entire fan base, because I do think he is the answer. I just think it's going to be a little bit of a build. And I do think, yes, Jamar Chase had his drops in the preseason, but this guy hasn't played football for almost 2 years now. And, you know, he's an elite level player that hopefully the drops is just kind of like, you know, Judy with Denver had a problem with drops last year, but you know, he seemingly still seems to be like a star level player. So I'm not going to knock the young guys on that yet. But again, I think that they're not quite there. But really with the Bengals too, like, and I'm someone who I pride myself, I know, like, players, like, you know, played a lot of video games over the years, and, you know, I followed the NFL like a lot. Like, I've been in IDP leagues, so I know players. And when I look at the Bengals defense, like, you know, the linebacking core, for example, there's like the what's his name, Pratt. Like, that's a guy, I know he's fast, I know he's big, but what else does he really do? I don't know. I know he's young. And then these other guys that they have, I know they have that three named guy, Davis, something.
Davis.
Yeah. I know he's fast and good in coverage, but outside of Jesse Bates, no one on that defense scares me. And so that might be my biggest fear going in, is the fact that I know we've talked about it being a potential trap game, but I don't know if I'd phrase it like that, but it could be a game where it gets overlooked because, like, hey, we, after the Bengals, then it's the Cardinals, you know, Seahawks, Browns, or whatever, in whatever order. So the schedule does get tougher. So I don't want them to overlook that. I don't think Zimmer's the type who does that, because, you know, the fat cats get slaughtered, going back to that. So in reality, the weapons on the outside of the Bengals do scare me, because, you know, Higgins is a matchup nightmare. Jamar Chase, I think, has a dynamic playmaking ability, and Tyler Boyd in the slot has been as good as it gets in the NFL for a few years now. So we'll see. Like, I'm not trying to be too optimistic on my outlook for it, but for me, I think the biggest weakness is going to be more so self-inflicted if it happens. So again, I'm not trying to dog on Cincinnati. They'll get there when Burrow, you know, by about year three or four. But I just think right now they're just not a very good overall team, and I'm not a big Zach Taylor fan either. So.
Point of order, Ron and I don't usually disagree on the show, but we finally have. From what I saw with Burrow in year one, his rookie year, with a leaky offensive line, before the injury, I thought he looked the part, and I thought he was progressing just the way that he needed to on a team that didn't have tremendous amount of talent. And the injury.
They did say he passed the eye test.
You said Lawrence, like he didn't invoke Lawrence, but I thought he was well on his way to being top 10, like quarterback that plays in the year for 10 to 12 years. But that's all. I mean, not in that year, but his progression. A lot of times, right. Like Josh Allen looked like garbage, and people wouldn't admit it for the first 2 years, and then right.
He looked better than Josh Allen in his first year. And that's where, like, treading carefully on my own words. Like, I'm not saying I think he's a franchise quarterback and he's there. I just think it could be attributed to the offensive line, but more so just the inexperience. Cause even at LSU, you know, did he only have the 1 year there? I just think that inexperience, he needs the time to put it all together. Not saying he needs to sit like Aaron Rodgers, but Rodgers, if he was thrown in right away, probably wouldn't have been ready. So whereas, like, if you look at the rookie quarterbacks last year, Herbert, like, I think Herbert is further along after year one than Joe Burrow was, based on the nine game sample size that he had.
Sally, I know that when I stop with you here, you're going to have some fears. I know you're good for that. let's hear what they are on record, on camera.
I don't really have much different to say than what you guys said, to be honest with you. I think that if the Vikings screw up and lose this game, it has everything to do with the Vikings and nothing to do with the Bengals. No offense to them at all. I have a lot of anxiety about this because it's reminding me of 2015 home or season opener at San Francisco, Monday night game. We had to stay up until like 10:20 for it to even start. And what did the Vikings score? 3 points. It was atrocious. And that was a game they absolutely should have won. I think San Francisco went on to win 2 additional games the entire season. Mm-hmm. That's what kind of scares me. And that's my own PTSD. That's not necessarily a fair assessment. But so, of course, I'm scared of that. Zimmer is 5-2 in week ones. So I believe the other loss was last season against Green Bay, which we also know was very, very, very bad. But overall, that's a good record. So I don't really have anything else. I think especially what you guys just talked about, it should be a win. We talked about a few weeks ago, I do believe this is a must win, even though it's a week one, and that may sound preposterous. It's a game you have to win if you want to be taken seriously, with as difficult as the schedule gets the next 3 weeks after that. So hopefully they can just get it together and be convincing.
To pay homage to our fallen friend, that's your purple PTSD at that.
Oh yeah. Rest in peace, Joe. I love you.
All right, Mike. I don't get the sense that you have a lot of confidence or swagger on the Bengals beating the Vikings, but if indeed you do, or you want to clarify, what do you fear about the Vikings?
Two people out of three said, like, yeah, there's nothing to really fear.
No, and that's not any disrespect, but I've went on record as saying I think that the Steelers will be bottom of the division, by the way. So
that'll get you some that mention that at the tailgate.
I hate the Steelers.
Oh, mention that at the tailgate. They'll love you.
You tell Grandpa Jim about that, you'll be in good for the rest of your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Bengals are my second favorite in the division.
And the Ravens, of course, right?
No. No.
Yeah. Kevin Stefanski, I got it.
If the Bengals are going to win, it's going to be because they don't get into third and long where Zimmer can kill them, and then they can get the quick passes off to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd without the offensive line being a liability. I mean, I don't know if I'd be surprised if they just came out and wrecked the Vikings defense, because I think fully healthy, this is a pretty formidable unit. And then, I mean, you have to fear Jesse Bates, I assume, because he can make things happen in the secondary. He's really, really good safety. I think the guy nobody mentions, just my guy, DJ Reader, being nose tackle. I think I went on, I've said somewhere else that I think my bold prediction, because he only gets like 3 sacks a year, is I think he might get a sack this game against Garrett Bradbury, because Bradbury seems to struggle a little bit against a powerful dude. He's got shorter arms. DJ can push him back into the pocket. I could see it for the Vikings. My main fear, I think, at first was Dalvin Cook because he's super talented and our linebackers could get abused. And then Trey Waynes pulled a hammy, and now we're starting Eli Apple as one of our outside cornerbacks. So the immediate fear becomes Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. And I think more specifically, I would be fearful of Justin Jefferson going wild, going for 200 yards or something crazy, because we're going to let Eli Apple go one-on-one against him or something and not try to protect him. So
okay. I think Eli Apple's mom has made more noise in the NFL than Eli Apple has.
Yeah, Eli Apple, mostly known for his mom and not doing great. But, you know, we have confidence for some reason.
What do you have? I'm going to go around the horn. I'll start with you off the steam of that soliloquy. What is your prediction for Vikings-Bengals week one?
I think it'll be 27-24, probably the Vikings. Okay. I think it'll be close, though. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. There aren't as many blowouts in the NFL, I think, as people think. Like, most of these games stay relatively close because NFL teams are just really talented. Mm-hmm. These are just the best players from college and everything, other than maybe the Texans or Lions this year. But, yeah, I think it'll stay close. The Vikings just have so much firepower on offense, and then they have a defense that's more capable of getting turnovers and stops and creating havoc. Well, so it's hard to see it and then think like, yeah, the Bengals could win this on paper. I think if it happens, it happens because of the flow of the game or how things happen in the game.
Well, remember this, if you are correct, or even if you're just sitting down on Sunday, that all of Zimmer's week one wins, there's only been one that's been fantastic. And like, wow, they were prepared. The rest of the games are not sloppy necessarily, but you just run the ball enough to get the lead and then play defense and don't show anything off. That's how Zimmer wins week one games. He did it against the Falcons and the Raiders, I think it was. And that was in 2018 and 2019. So it's usually pretty vanilla. And then they beat the Titans on the road in 2016, but that was thanks to defense in the second half of that game. So I don't expect... Maybe they're due for it, but I don't expect the Vikings to come out, you know, looking like hitting on all cylinders type of thing. But
what B-Mac, was the flashy one? The Saints?
The Bradford.
Monday night?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep. Oh. I thought you were going to say the Falcons game where with the turnover or the block kick to start.
Well, that had notable plays, but yeah. I remember being there thinking
97 yards passing by Cousins.
Yeah, so, I think okay. a win's a win is how I felt walking out of the building that day. B-Mac, what's your Vikings-Bengals prediction?
I'm going to go with the Vikings 24-17.
Ooh, okay. Sally?
That's exactly what I was going to say. I'll go 21-14 then.
Ron, what's your prediction?
All right. I may be a little more optimistic, but it's because I'm looking at this D-line. And yes, DJ Reader, I think, is a very good nose tackle. You know, Ogunbowale, he's not much of a run stopper. He's more of a three technique. And yeah, Hendrickson, I don't think I've ever seen him make a tackle on a running back. I think the Brian O'Neill extension is going to kind of make it where the Vikings are going to run a lot of outside zone plays in my mind, just in watching it. I think Dalvin Cook's in for a big day. I think he's going to have three touchdowns himself. And I have us 34-17 and, we'll see, but I don't like that Bengals defense. I'm looking at it at all.
I think the Vikings will win it 27-13. I think we will see the Zimmer defense back and we'll wrap our arms around it because we missed it so much. Sally, what do you got for the group tonight?
Well, unfortunately it's kind of similar to what we just did, but you know, it's the last show before the season starts. So I need everyone's official prediction for the record right now, and whoever ends up being the most wrong, there's going to be major consequences. I don't know what they are yet, but they're coming.
All right. Well, Mike,
Mike can do the Bengals.
I thought I was going to do Vikings without much knowledge about it.
Well, you don't know the schedule, no. So do the Bengals
one. You can do both. I bet you'll do both, and you'll be the one that gets the Vikings record right.
Yeah, do both.
Yeah. Without looking at anything, the Vikings just feel, and it's weird with a 17 game season, but I'll just say 10-7. I don't know. They feel like a good team, but not a team that would go like 14-3. That I don't know if I'd see that for the Bengals. My prediction's been 7-10. but hopefully it just looks better is what I've been saying. It's like, this is 7-10 that looks terrible. And then there's a 7-10. You're like, oh, next year, maybe there'll be a team. That's what I'm hoping for.
We had that in 2014, Zimmer's rookie campaign. I'm assuming Sally and Ron felt the same way. It was cool to finish 7-9 and be on the uptick. Like, I sat down to watch games thinking it'll be cool if we win this. And then if we lost, it wasn't soul crushing like it's been for the last 4 years now. So I can tell you that if you're in that development mode or at the next block of the rebuild, finishing 7-9, 7-10 is emotionally, it does a body good.
It's more wins than Zach Taylor has in his career so far.
yeah, there you go.
Ron, what's your win loss?
I have us, after just quick looking at the schedule, just to confirm, I'll say 11-7 or 11-6.
Okay. B-Mac?
I'm agree with, is it Sands? It's like 10-7.
10-7. I have 11-6, which is good enough to get into the postseason. I think they win one postseason game. And then see what happens, see the lay of the land. Most importantly, see how the offensive line has gelled going into that second playoff game. The schedule is the fifth most difficult in the NFL per 2020 wins and losses. So when you're sizing up that schedule and it looks nasty, that's for good reason. Only four other teams have it more brutal than the Vikings. I do subscribe to this odd year, even year voodoo, and it feels like they're due again. And it would be pretty Zimmerian for him to do just enough to convince the front office that he needs one more go around. And I think that will be a playoff win, a convincing one. And then we'll see where we're at in February, March with the enthusiasm on his long-term status. Sally, what's yours?
Just real quick, sorry, Dustin, to add on to what you're saying about the odd even thing. Like, I think a big part of that, like, and one of Zimmer's faults, I think, in his career has been his ability to make halftime adjustments, I'd say. But the one thing that odd even kind of paradox has shown is, like, whatever happened bad last year, he won't let happen again this year. So I think that's why you see the revamped defense and everything. So while there may be falters and something else might get a little overlooked, I think he looked at it like, hey, we had the 25th defense. That's not going to happen on my watch. So stack up, load the cupboards, and come back. And the defense will at least be what keeps us in games every year. So again, just a theory, but we'll see.
Okay. And then Sally, what do you got for a win-loss for the 2021 Vikings?
Oh, it doesn't look good.
I know I'm going to get roasted, and I hate it, but I have to be honest because I have 8-9.
And this has dipped. It must have been COVID stuff because you were happier a month and a half ago.
You know, it's not necessarily COVID stuff because obviously that's not something that you could ever predict if it will happen or when it will happen. I think it just kind of, yeah, after we signed all of those defensive free agents, I did get really excited. Then, yes, there has been some drama with the vaccination stuff. That doesn't necessarily, well, it scares me, I guess, that people are going to miss games, but it also scares me that if people lose money, there's going to be animosity and stuff in the locker room. But that's not why I picked this record by any means. I mean, I went through every game and I'm just thinking about it. And this is a really tough schedule. And I think that it really, another thing that hurt my record prediction is that Aaron Rodgers came back. And to me, that's two losses that may very well happen. I hope not. I hope they split, but before that was two wins in the column.
That's fair.
So that also has a huge thing to do with it. So I do have them beating the Browns. So I'm really not being negative. I don't know. I have just this sick feeling in my stomach that there's going to be another on the bubble in the hunt season. And also Mike Zimmer hasn't figured out how to beat the Bears. And I don't know if they're going to win one of those games. So I'm sorry to end it on a bad note.
No, that's eight and nine from Sally. She's got the lowest,
I know, but
enthusiasm.
Thank God I'm not on Twitter right now. I'm going to get roasted.
Nah, you'll be fine.
I have to tell the truth. This is my true beliefs.
That's all right. I want to run down storylines. I did these on air about a month ago, but as a refresher course, and then we'll talk to Mike for one more second. This is Zimmer's first game as a head coach in Cincinnati against his old team. Riley Reiff will play his old team, this time playing right tackle. Mackenzie Alexander spent 1 year with the Bengals. He'll be back seeing the Bengals this Sunday. You have the Burrow and Jefferson and Chase connection from LSU, alumnus together. Then the Vikings have not won in Cincinnati in 29 years. A lot of that has to do with how frequently you go to an AFC opponent, but still, 29 years is a long time. And then Nick Vigil spent 4 seasons, his entire rookie contract with the Bengals, and he will play his old team. So this is a lot of somewhat intriguing storylines to overlap. All right, Mike, tell our listeners, probably the Bengals fans, where they can find you on Twitter and all that, sir.
I'm at Bengals _ Sands on Twitter. Really, anything you want to find, just you can find it there. But yeah, also writing at the top, we said writing for All Bengals and podcasting with Locked On Bengals. Thanks for having me, guys. It was fun, other than everybody telling me that my team's going to lose.
Well, you can message me on Sunday night, and then I'll spread the word that if we were incorrect, that, you know, you were a little bit, you know, peeved by the fact
no,
that you were.
I picked it too.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, BMAC, for next week, do you know any Cardinals crossover players that we could have as a guest?
Yeah, I can think about that.
Okay. All right, cool. We'll talk off air and see if we can line up a Cardinal for the preview show when the Vikings.
Anquan Boldin played for the Cardinals for a while.
Okay.
You'll see what he can do.
I know he's your Ravens teammate for a bit. So.
That's all right. We got this week for Believe in Vikings. Mike, thanks again, sir. We appreciate it. And Skol Vikings.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning architectural shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now. Save.